Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
LCO on BTR with your host Onyx. This show is a production of Lady of the Circle in the Oaks, a Corellian proto temple in Thomasville, North Carolina. After the show, we invite you to click over to ladyofthecircle.org to learn more about us. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the show. Whether you're listening live or in the archives, I want to thank you for joining us. You had a choice, and you chose to sit with us. And we are really appreciative of that. Tonight, we've got a very special show lined up. We're going to bring on a very special guest a little bit later. We're going to talk about something going on, an organization here in the local community, and an event that they've got planned coming up real soon. You're in the Triad area of North Carolina, so if you're in listening distance or driving distance, make sure that you get on your brand and come on in for this. It's going to be a blast, but we'll talk about that in a little while. It is April 4th of 2015. It's 10 p.m. here in Thomasville, North Carolina. I want to make a few announcements before we lead into the show, just like I always do. The Temple of Contemplation, which is a formal shrine of the Corellian, is hosting a meditation, a guided meditation, that will be on Wednesday, April 8th, between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. That's both in UK time and in Eastern time. So there'll be two rituals running, one at 9 p.m. UK time, one at 9 p.m. Eastern time. The way you can access that is going to www.wiccanway.org.uk. There will also be a ritual that is held in the contemplation shrine, and that's also at wiccanway.org.uk. That is scheduled for 9 p.m. Eastern Time and 9 p.m. British Summer Time. There again, the temple location for that one. You can access it through www.wiccanway.org.uk. They're going to be in the room labeled Lounge. If you'd like to find out something about the Temple of Contemplation, you can go over to contemplation.templesuk.org. You will not need to bring anything to this online if you want to, but to the music might help you to relax. Another opportunity to get involved online is the Temple of Healing ritual. This again will be at the wiccanway.org.uk. It's timed for Friday, April 10th, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. The first one will be then. The second will be at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to find out more about the Temple of Healing, then you can click over to www.healing-temple.co.uk. Now you can access these ritual rooms by clicking. Once you go to theawakenedway.org.uk, you're going to access these ritual rooms by first clicking on and then you'll choose ritual menu. If you're going to attend any of these rituals, it suggests you go ahead of time, register for the ritual to make sure that the name that you want to use is available. So there again, that's www.wiccanway.org. I invite all of you who would like to participate in the online ritual. There are some excellent opportunities there. These organizations are Karelian. Please understand, the Karelian tradition is extremely inclusive, and everyone is invited out to participate. You do not have to be Karelian, just want to participate. Come on out and share. Now tonight, we are going to be talking about the local community. A lot of our listeners are not in the local community, but all of it has to do with community. And the special guest that we have tonight, her name is Laura Cohen, and she holds a Master's of Public Affairs from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. Back in 2005, while she was in college, she attended her first Path of the Moon Collective meeting, group gathering. Now, Path of the Moon Collective, which we'll go into this a little bit later, Path of the Moon Collective has been around for quite some time. But in 2005, while she was in college, she attended for the first time. And that got her interested, and that led her to becoming pagan and later against political views in her undergraduate thesis. Active member of the Path of the Moon Collective since 2008, and in 2009 she became a part of the organizer committee. And on October 1st of 2014, she took over as the president of Path of the Moon Collective. Now, I've said Path of the Moon Collective several times, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask her to come on with us, welcome her with us, and let her tell you a little bit about herself, and then. More about what the Path of the Moon Collective is all about, and then we'll go on from there. So I'm hoping that I have her live now. Lauren, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Good evening. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come on the radio with us and talk about your organization, what you're up to in the local area. So if you would, if you give us some background on Path of the Moon Collective, could you do that, please?
Yes. We started in 1996 as a picnic organization where we would have large pagan picnics. And over time, we became associated with the Unitarian Universalist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which really helped us flourish. And so our real key principle is to bring all pagans from all traditions together for fellowship, celebration, fun, lighthearted rituals, some serious rituals, and to just have a good time. And for the most part, we still do that. And that's what I'm going to be talking to you about today, is how my organization, the Path Moon Collective, has involved itself with the community and try to help get pagans together.
Yeah, I understand that being in the local area, obviously, I've been around Path Moon as well, and you know, I saw a lot of good work from there. Excited that this organization's in the area because of what it represents. It represents coming together under a common theme and for fellowship, and ritual at times and classes at times. It's really wonderful. Now you guys have regular meetings. Would you want to tell us about that a little bit?
Yes. We have moved into more informal meetings, usually at Starbucks. If you're in the area, it's the Starbucks in Winston-Salem on University Parkway. And those informal meetings have been a way to help welcome people into the pagan community. Paths and Moon Collective has been first contact for a lot of people searching for spiritual answers from the pagan side. It was my first contact back in 2005, 10 years ago. And that first contact is so very important from a pagan perspective, because people have questions. And the types of people you need to answer questions have got to be fun, inviting, happy people. And that is one of the many things that we do. Is like we are essentially the Walmart greeters of paganism in the area, because we're so easily found. So many people know about us. And so it is very important to me in particular to be warming and hospitable and low-key, and there's nothing low-key than coffee, in my personal opinion. So we have a monthly coffee meet the last Friday of every month in Starbucks. And so we do hope to continue this welcoming trend while we move in the community.
Well, I think that what you're doing, you know, having this open, come as you are, everybody come around and have coffee or whatever at Starbucks, I think it's an excellent thing. And you mentioned something that I wanted to touch on. You said that for a lot of people, Path of the Moon Collective is the first contact, and you mentioned how important it was for that first contact to be welcoming and warm. And it brings back something that you know, I've always, well, not canceled, but for the most part of my life, have lived by, and I'll try to remember, that you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And you guys are out there where the rubber meets the road in that first contact, and you're first impression of people coming into the pagan community. You guys are the pagan ambassadors for this area. From our point of view here at LCO, I'd like to thank you for that, because I've had people come from Path of the Moon and just sing praises. And some of those are very active participants as far as coming to the meets and greets there. More active than I am, which I say that I'll make it up as often as I would like to. But you guys are the ambassadors, and that's really an important role. But that's not all you do. You know, you mentioned that sometimes you have rituals, the lighthearted rituals, and a few students. But I understand, if I'm wrong, please learn, that a lot of the times the rituals that you do, that, so let people know that, you know, that it doesn't have to be so heavy, that it can be fun and entertaining and also very spiritually moving at the same time. Am I reading that wrong, or am I correct?
No, you are absolutely correct. One of our famous rituals, called the Chocolate Ritual, was introduced by Ravenheart. He was president of Path of the Moon in the early 2000s, and she runs her own coven in the area, and she was our guest and did this wonderful chocolate ritual where we praised the gods for chocolate. And we had a pop music ritual where we talked about how music is important in our lives and our tradition, and it doesn't just have to be bagpipes and pan flutes, that it, you know, we can rock on. And so we use the music as meditative. We do have our pagan picnics. We had one last summer of the cookout at a park, and it was well attended. And we had a ritual involving our roots and understanding our roots and the roots of trees and how we can use that as a way for us to plant our own desires. And so our rituals have tended to cross all types of pagan traditions. We've had traditional Wiccan, Samhain rituals. We've had the lighthearted ones like we discussed before, but we've also had African rituals. We've had Cuban rituals. We've had voodoo and Santeria and all of these wonderful people, all these wonderful traditions get mixed with past moon. There's not really one tradition. We don't really, you know, we make it a part of our mission to not have a tradition, so to speak. That way we can invite everyone and answer all questions. And we know some people who are Asatru, which is the Norse tradition. And we know, you know, if we can know someone who knows someone, the Pagan Network at work. And so usually people will come to us with questions and we answer them if we can, or we send them to people who we know that practice this in the community and can go from there. So being first contacted also means that we are an extensive network and we know people who know people. And in these days, that is really good, whether or not you need a job. Some people will help people, other people get jobs. And so, you know, we just try and be there for each other. That's really what we can do as humans and as spiritualists at the basic level.
Oh, I absolutely see what you're saying. You mentioned the chocolate ritual. The first time I ran into the chocolate ritual, just as a side note, I was back when I was doing system operator work for a BBS back in, I guess it was the late 80s maybe, early 90s-ish. I was running a bulletin board system. Those of you I am will remember what they are, and those in the pagan community for a while will remember the PODSNET, the Pagan and Occult Distribution System Network. It went alongside the FIDONET backbone, and it was a mail delivery system, like a bullet. Even messages across the United States, and everybody could communicate. On that PODSNET, it was where I first ran in to the chocolate ritual, and it wasn't until I guess it was mid to late 90s that I was able to participate in the chocolate ritual, and phenomenal ritual. I loved it. It was hosted by another coven in the area where I was at the time. But if you've never, just decide to mention that, I love the chocolate ritual. Anybody out there who has not participated in the chocolate ritual, it's available online. There's several different variations of it. Engage. That's a very good lighthearted but deep at the same time. There's so many levels to that ritual. Another one that you might want to look into, a lot of you guys have hosted one, is the Tigger ritual. The auspices of Winnie the Pooh. So that might be something you want to look at in the future as well. Being the ambassadors out there, being the first contact, and being that network, that's what being a part of the Belly Button Club and sharing commonalities is all about. And you guys are making it happen. And all of us who are also out there where the rubber meets the road, but in a different tangent, appreciate you being the local face of paganism, all of unit, your staff, and your entire group. And I encourage anybody who is in or within driving distance of the area to come out every Friday, every last Friday of the month at the Starbucks on University. You're going to meet some wonderful people. And every time I've been there, I've never had a bad time. It's always been really wonderful. We wind up staying a lot longer than I planned. I think that's kind of, you know, you get into that environment and time goes away. And I think that says a lot. So what I'm going to do now, I need a break for a few minutes. A couple of songs and do the peace prayer that we always play during our show. Then we're going to do some station business. And then we'll come back after the rejoin. And we'll move forward, and we're going to talk about this that's been in the planning for quite some time, from what I understand. And we want to get people out and get them engaged because we can make this a wonderful world. So if you will just sit back and relax, we're going to play both of our songs for Murphy's Midnight Rounders. The first will be Wreck of the Modern Pagan, and then we're going to follow up with Circle Song. So please enjoy.
Plastic candles, ninja swords, and simulated crystal orbs in unread print to praise Big Blue. He'll teach young women what he knows if they take off all their clothes and spiral dance into his bedroom. She won't say marry me cause she's a vegetarian, she's afraid it violates the reed. She only reads Fiona Horn and believes she is reborn from an ancient Pictish queen. It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman, make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman, come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Pixelated motherboards and three-pronged grounded power cords is coming in the chat room on Yahoo. His high priest is in NYC, his priestess is in Germany, the court is called from no one has a clue. They read their screens by candlelight, and each one does his own great rite consisting of the alternator keys. F7 scribes a circle round, and F8 takes the circle down. F9 types a hearty blessed be.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman, make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman, come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Why do people laugh his way and shake their heads and walk away when he says he's a Virgo through and through? He wants to study Salima and the mystic Kabbalah, but Hebrew words are giving him the blues. He understands the Sephiroth from Kether down to Yetzirah. He even knows what's meant by 661. He won't call his tradition witchcraft. It's more like H.P. Lovecraft. All hail the Necronomicon.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman, make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman, come back in another life if I get it wrong.
All he wears is gothic black, and tattooed on his gothic back, the scene of Jesus hanging on the cross. The reference is cursory, and hanging from his rosary, a pentacle he says that someone lost. He only listens to death metal, cause he says it's spiritual. He wants to play guitar like Jimmy Page. Mom's patient with his attitude, her past is Trixie Druid. She hopes that he'll come around someday.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
He learned his sense of history from RPGs like D&D. He thinks Gary Gygax is a god. His paladin keeps getting trounced by wizard clerics who jump out and turn his +2 arrows into mud. The magic that he learns from books like D&D and Terry Brooks he tried to use in Circle once or twice. Last time he woke up in a funk, in a Mitsubishi trunk, 'cause demons really don't play nice.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
He's TOS and OTO and BTW Borneo. His voodoo priestess grew up in KC. Says his first is Frostian, his second is Arthurian, his third he got while studying Reiki. He reads books by Bonowitz, Grimassi, M.D. Budapest, and volumes signed by Raven Silver Moon. His path may seem a bit deranged, eclecticism is his game. I think he's added Baptist in there too.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
The Viking path's the one for him, and it's just not a silly whim. His great, 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 great granddad did it too. His songs use funny-sounding words. 1,000 years they ain't been heard, and some of them are written in ancient runes. He looks upon Paganistan as something to be conquered, and his horn is always filled with meat or brew. He laughs at silly pagan folk and thinks he knows more than the Pope. His Mjolnir stuck right up his ass a true.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid Shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
They will never see a need that can't be solved with a curse. The point of view they take is that their tradition should come first. The dividing line they draw between the good guys and the worst is the circle that divides community. They go round and round in circle, but the logic's still the same. If you don't believe what I do, your tradition's pretty lame. The circle that you cast upon division is to blame. It's the circle that erodes community. For the circles are expanding, and it changes with the times. The circle has no corners, and there are no straight lines. One hand leads to another, with no one left behind. It's the circle that defines community. We go round and round in circle. We reach out for younger hands. We include all who desire it, be they foe or be they friend. For our strength is in inclusion, not the side on which we stand. It's the circle that involves community. We go round and round in circle, and the circle ever grows. And the strength we bring together as the strength that each one shows. And ye harm none is our battle cry. May the circle never close. It's the circle that reflects community.
There is one power in the universe, and I am a perfect manifestation of that power. And as such, I pray for peace. I pray for love. I pray for stability. I pray for the nation where I live. I pray for the world. By my will, so mote it be. And it is so. You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
You're listening to LCO on BTR on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back. I'm Reverend Ice, and you are listening to LCO on BTR. I want to remind everybody who is listening to our show and any of the shows here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, all the music that we play has been donated by the artists so that we can play it for you to enjoy. So please, buy their stuff. You know, go out and support these people, these artists. Because if we can support them so that they can put food on the table without having to punch a clock or something, that gives them more chance, more opportunity to write more of this music and perform more of this music and record more music that touches our soul. So, please support the artists so graciously. Donated their talent to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Now we're talking to Lauren Crohan, who is of Path of the Moon Collective. And before, you know, when we talked about who she was, we talked about what Path of the Moon is doing and everything. I'm going to bring her back on with us, and we've got some more things to talk about. So please just hang in there with us and listen up, because there's a lot coming up. Lauren, are you back with us?
Yes, I am.
Great. I want to thank you again for being with us tonight. You had earlier, you touched on something that I wanted to kind of bring back around. You touched on how we are a community and how we're all members of the community. And I understand from being in the area, half of the ministry involved in the community. So could you give us some, let us know a little bit about what the organization is doing of our local community?
Sure. It is very important to me personally that everything I do, I have to give back. And Pass the Moon was trying to figure out what on earth could we do, since we are a fun, happy, jovial bunch. And we didn't, you know, coordinating Adopt a Highway and thinking about all the different things that we could do was my job on the organizing committee. So I was thinking about how could we give back to the community. I was working as a substitute teacher, and there were all these kids that were essentially hungry, and there was a backpack program, and local churches would fill out backpacks for the weekend or the summer, and they would feed the kids for the weekend. And then I started doing my research and found that 1 in 3 children, and this is not even recession statistics, this is recovery statistics, 1 in 3 children in the Piedmont Triad area in North Carolina is food insecure. And that, we are a large area. We are a large part of North Carolina. We're in between Charlotte and Raleigh. And we are 1 in 3 children are food insecure. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to get everyone involved in the Second Harvest Food Bank. That's the main place that the food is distributed in the area, except by local churches. Well, since we don't have a physical address, I thought that we just all would always collect, constantly collect for Second Harvest Food Bank. And since 2011, we have donated, I know that I've at least carried 100 pounds of food in my car over the past year. And so the food bank has been very grateful. We had a speaker at one of our fall events who talked to us about how important it is for local organizations to donate, because we can get the word out for people to donate more. And so that was the first way Pass the Moon Collective decided to give back. The second part is there's a pagan on the Interfaith Council, and so I was contacted to also be on this Interfaith Council. The Interfaith Council in Winston-Salem is essentially a combination of Baptists, Methodists, Moravians, Muslims, the bulls in the area, and all the traditional faiths. And they had Drea Parker, who is now the president of the Interfaith Winston-Salem nonprofit, essentially. And so I've been involved with Interfaith. Every month I represent Pass the Moon, and I go to a breakfast where I sit across from a Baptist minister and a Jewish rabbi. And we've had Muslims there presenting, talking about their experiences, how to combat Islamophobia. And I've even presented at these meetings my personal journey. And this program is called Journey. It meets at the Golden Corral on Haysmall Boulevard in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, the first Sunday of every month. And it is a blast to go to, mostly because I'm the youngest member there.
Now, is this council, is this group, I'm sorry to interject, I just wanted to, for people, I wanted to clarify for people in the area, this meeting of the council, is it open for visitors to come in and participate in fellowship too?
Yes.
That's
it
wonderful.
Is fellowship and to learn about every different path that is out there, and not just pagans, but we've had every religion that you could think of has had a presenter. And it is an amazing thing to sit there and have people ask me questions about paganism and to be a pagan representative in this larger community spectrum where people are like, Path the Moon exists and you guys do this community work and you are out there and you are being the ambassadors and, you know, being a representative of the pagan faith, you know, people, Baptists, they're actually very open through the interfaith motto and the interfaith mission. And so what it is that trying to bridge gaps of understanding is the primary goal of Interfaith Winston-Salem. And being compassionate. And there's nothing more compassionate than, in a way, getting thrown into what I thought was going to be a room full of wolves. And instead, just people ask genuine questions who are generally interested in what I believe, why I believe it, how I got there, and are willing to help and give dialogue and give credence to things. Your beliefs are valid. And as a pagan, considering the larger scheme of things or the media or whatever you want to call it, is very good to understand that the community can validate you if you are out in the community. If you go out and you are an ambassador and you bridge the gap between different faiths or between different groups of people that you might not think, that you may have your own prejudices against, because they might think that, or you feel that they would have the same prejudices against you. It's a really good way to break down barriers, is to engage in these contacts, to get out in the community and realize that not everyone is hostile towards you and what you believe. Now, there are actually a lot of people willing to open. And this group even has atheist and agnostic members. It is an older group of people. And so to be a young person, I'm 28, and come in with this new line of thinking that they haven't completely been exposed to is really refreshing. And I'm very happy to represent Path the Moon Collective when I'm doing these journeys. I just know that it's important to me for any pagan organization to get out into the community and do some good, whether it is starting or being part of dialogue or actually doing something like collecting food for the Second Harvest Food Bank or a local food bank or to clean up the roads or to adopt a highway. Whatever it is, it should be something good for the everybody.
Oh, I would absolutely agree with you on all of those points. And I would like to add some of my own observations as far as interfaith dialogue is concerned. I have found a lot. Well, first of all, I completely agree with you, Lauren, that the Aztecans' broad brush statement here, beware, are just as biased as we believe those who are not pagan are against us. We automatically generally assume those who are not pagan are going to be aggressively against the way we believe. I have not found that to be true as a general thing. What I have found to be true is that if we are representing ourselves in a good light to begin with, if we're out there doing the things that you're talking about doing, like getting into the community, picking up trash on the side of the road, donating to food banks, talking to people, and if we are doing that from being a member of the Belly Button Club and just being a good person, being a good member of society and of culture, and then they find out, oh, by the way, you're pagan, they are biased to begin with. it makes them look at you in a completely different way, because they already, even those very few that are biased through misinformation and disinformation against our faith group, if we establish the fact in their minds, through actions, not our words, but through our actions, they're good people. We are just people just like everyone else. And then they come around to find out that we are pagan. It causes a disjunct there. We're not who, you know, we're not the evil pagan. And we're told or out there, whoa, this is a good person. And it causes that disjunct, and it allows them to reach paganism in general. Because one of the things that I've told people that is always, you know, because you may be the first person and may in some cases be the only person that someone encounters who they realize or they know is pagan. And the way they see you is going to be the way they see every other pagan they will ever meet. Back to you never get a second chance to make a good first impression. Being out in the interfaith, I've also found that if we're working actively to change some of the misconceptions that are out there, the easiest way I've found to do it in some communities that I've worked with, and I was going to ask you one thing, is doing what you're doing. You're dialoguing with the leaders of those other faith groups. Because a lot of times, if we can get the leaders to understand that something they might have heard is misrepresented or misinformation or misunderstood, once we can close those gaps there through dialogue, breakfast, sharing, you know, you're across pancakes together or whatever, get that camaraderie going there, and they realize that, you know, we're else. Once that connect happens, it starts to filter down, and even those people who are adamantly against those who represent our own faith group, most of the time. It's because of misinformation. But if we could educate the leaders of those faith groups, then that education filters down and things change. Would you agree or disagree with that? Comments, thoughts?
No, I would absolutely agree. Getting the faith leaders to understand, even within the Christian denominations, there had been a large amount of misunderstandings over time, and you know, to have a pagan voice be able to help bridge the gap between our very different ways of worship to their ways of worship is enlightening for everyone involved. And I know that with the president being pagan, and then I personally have been asked to share my journey at Journeys. And so having people, having pagans representative to these people has really opened some eyes in the community, and realizing that we're here, we're not going away, and the best part is you want us on your side. And so if anyone or anyone of any group that could better the community, no matter what they believe, if we all work together, then that's the grand ideal. The grand ideal for interfaith dialogue is compassion. And so I feel compassion on a daily basis. And working in a dialogue to build the compassion in the community for each other, you know, we need everybody. We need everybody nowadays to stop with the divisive nature of almost everything. You can't even have a decent conversation about a reality show without people being completely on different sides. And so it's a matter of making sure that we are all at least speaking the same language.
I would agree, absolutely. Now, we're coming up at the top of the hour. We're not limited to the top of the hour, but we like to run through and kind of getting close to that time. But you've got your group has put together an amazing event that is coming up very soon, and I wanted to give you the chance to let people know what's going on, when it's going on, where it's going on, and how to get involved, who to contact for Path of the Moon Collective, anything and everything about the event and about your organization. And, you know, I might interject a question here or there, but please, this is your front, your platform. Let people know what you're doing coming up soon, please.
Yes.
This is amazing.
On Saturday, April 11th, 2015, Path of the Moon has taken the past year to plan what we like to call an Earth Path Pride Day. And I'm sure you've heard of pagan pride days, but what it is it's a little bit more than that. This is April. This is the month of Earth Day. This is the month where everyone gets in touch with our inner environmentalist, no matter what faith you are. And so we opened up and are going to have a festival the entire day, April 11th, 2015, to have a community altar, to have vendors and food and demonstrations to celebrate our oneness to Earth and connecting with the Earth in a traditional pagan respect, as well as just whatever you feel like. We have we plan on a opening and closing ritual, but the gates open at 11 a.m. and they close at around 8, but our closing rituals at 6. And so you'll have plenty of time. You'll have the entire day to go to the Winston-Salem Fairground that is close to 27th Street in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It's where the Dixie Classic Fair usually is, but it's called the Winston-Salem Fairground. And we will be there the entire day having fun. This is something that we have really put a ton of effort into. We have demonstrations from leatherworking artisans, and then we have the medieval martial arts are going to come and pay us a visit and do a demonstration. All day you can just hang around in our yesteryear village is the section we're going to be at off 27th Street. And you can hang out all day. We'll have plenty of food for sale. We have welcoming on our welcoming tent. We'll have little gifts for kids. We also have planned a story time for kids, so it's very family friendly. You can wear anything you want, as long as you wear something. And it's going to be a really good time.
It sounds
free.
Awesome.
It is free parking.
I love that price.
Yes, free parking, free admission. We are run entirely by donations. And because we run by donations, we will be collecting donations, not just for the event, but for our organization so we can continue to do the work that we do. We will be selling raffle tickets for prizes put up by artisans. And we will also be collecting cans for the Second Harvest Food Bank. So if you are in the area, definitely come and clean out your pantry and see what we have, because we want to make sure we feed a lot of families. And the only other thing I can think of is we're going to be having a kilt contest, which as many people who are pagans, we have a large Celtic presence in our organization, and many of these men wear their family kilts. And so we're going to see who wears their family's kilt the best. And we have tons of other things, just little things here and there that are going to be happening all day. I know that we have really pulled all of our efforts and all of our networks to make a great event. It's going to be sunny. The weather is predicted to be wonderful. We also use the Farmer's Almanac, and they're rarely wrong. And it's just going to be a really heartfelt, good time. That's all right. If you wanted details or wanted to see what anything that Path to Moon Collective is doing, our website is simply potmc.weebly.com, and we have all the information there. And we are also on Facebook under Path to Moon Collective. And so all of that information is on our website. And if there's anything you need or want to say something for our event, we have our contact information up there. So anything you need, that's where you go, potmc.weebly.com.
And in case you didn't make the connection there, folks, that's POTMC, Path of the Moon Collective. So make the connection, POTMC.weebly.com. Go and check them out. Lauren, we had a question that came up in the chat room while you came in. I wanted to get your answer for this before you sign off here. One of our listeners asked, does your group also do energy work?
Energy work. We have a large amount of our group are actually have at least taken the Reiki 1. Many in our groups are involved in the healing network through our local pagan shop, Kindred Spirits, and they have planned for a Reiki circle within the next year. We have tentatively looked into Reiki circles and getting some people who are interested. And once we have enough interest, we'll be able to book an event, and so we can book a venue for a Reiki circle. Energy work is something I do personally with crystals, and many other people will use their hands. Sandra Dupree, one of our organizers, is also Reiki certified, involved in the Free Hugs events that are all over Greensboro, Winston, and all over the country, actually. So, yes, many of our members do energy work. And like I said, when we're talking about how big of a network we are, we can definitely hook anyone up with a Reiki circle or Reiki lesson or something where you just need some healing. And so we have plenty of people who can help.
I want to thank you again, Lauren, for coming on with us tonight and sharing, your thoughts. I think most importantly, I think that I like your thoughts on the interfaith work and bringing, not only just bringing the pagan community together, but bringing the Belly Button Club together. I think, that's just an excellent thought. And I like what I'm setting out to do and has been doing over. I like the fact that you have an event going on next Saturday. I love the fact that you guys are involved with the community. People may say, you say 100 pounds, and that's a lot of food, but even one makes a difference. People can understand that. And get out there, get involved. Lauren and her group is in the point position. Take horns, being that first contact for people in the pagan community, being that interfaith face with other faith groups, working with the leaders of other groups, being there where the rubber meets the road and taking donations for the community food banks and things. And they've got this event coming up on April 11th, April 11th of 2015. If you are pagan or pagan, it doesn't matter. You're Harley Button Club, come out and support the full event. And you can get more information on it. It's on April information at pathofthemooncollective.weebly.com. That's Path of the Moon Collective's website. Lots of information there. Well put together website. And we here in the Triad community are very appreciative of everything you guys do. And we hope that as time goes along, more and more of the disparate groups will come out and join in together, like the second song we had in the set today. These circles need to be inclusive. There are no straight lines. There are no corners. We need to bring everybody together, because whether we share the same theology or not, we do share that common thing. We're all a part of the Belly Button Club. So, again, I want to thank you, Lauren. If you have any closing thoughts or anything, I'd love to hear them. I'm sure our listeners would too.
I just want to thank you very much for letting me on your show and speak to your audience and plug our event a little bit, but also talk to you about what Path Moon is about, and to emphasize that to pagans or pagan interested people who are listening, that all it takes is one good day. It takes one good impression and doing something for someone else, one act of kindness, one hug when they're in trouble. And that is really what I think the universe wants us to do. So I try and do that every day. And so if you can give at least one hug every day, I don't see a reason why you can't be a happy person.
I think that's a wonderful thought to close with. And again, I want to thank you so much, Lauren, for being here. And for those of you who did not get the website, I'm going to repeat it yet again until everybody understands and goes over there and checks these magnificent people out. Path of the Moon Collective, POTNC.weebly.com. That event is going to be on April 11th in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Go check it out. Come out. Support it. Understand that we are evolving. And I challenge you, every single one of you in the listening audience, whether you're listening live or in the archives, I challenge you to be involved as we evolve in all things. May you blessed be.
Thank you for listening to LCO on VTR. We hope you've enjoyed the show. You're invited to ladyofthecircle.org for more information about our organization. In all things, may you blessed be.